In the beginning, there was nothing. Then there were comic books. Once you enter our world, there is no escape. Comic exposure begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Comic Exposure Podcast. My name is Josh, and my pal, my friend, who's been with me this whole year, digging up the gems, mining for comic book ore, just in the trenches with me. He's my little canary in a little cage that I take down with me, and he lets me know if the comic books are good or bad. That's where we're at. The one, the only.
For all the comics we read and love to talk about. Travis Ratz here.
Oh, Travis and I are bringing you the Comic Exposure Podcast, where we dive deep into graphic novels or trades. Sometimes, not this year though, Travis. I don't know if you reviewed the year like I reviewed the year. Very few variant episodes this year.
Yeah.
A bunch of books, my friend. We went whole hog on the books this year.
If we're going to meet together and we're going to talk, I think we prefer to be talking about a book.
I agree. On this episode, this is the year-end wrap-up of Comic Exposure. And Travis and I had quite the year of reading. And we're going to talk some of our best of, some of our pleasant surprises. What's the character we like the best? What's the villain we like the best? What book would we want to read more of? We got a whole list of things to review our year. It's time for us to take stock of what we did this year. Travis Ratz, we read 26 books this year. 26 books this year. Two episodes had multiple episodes.
I really like this, and I hope everyone else does too. Because you know how like YouTube would be like your year in review, Spotify your year in review. I'm getting like my Comic Exposure year in review from Josh live on the podcast.
Right. 26 books we read. Two of those episodes were double books. So One episode we did two Darth Vader books. One episode we did two books from Criminal. Otherwise, 24 episodes. That is more than one every other week, if you want to do the math. What is right? Well, I guess it's one every other week.
we like a two a month,
two book. To three a month is where we're at, Travis. Because we hit that. It would have been, you know, we did a pretty good job here, Travis. So here we go. All right, I'm gonna read them. We started off the year with a little indie book called In Utero. Then, Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees, Operation Sunshine, Traveling to Mars, We Stand on Guard, Gargoyle of Gotham, Daredevil Man Without Fear, Helen of Windhorn, Phantom Road Volumes 1 and 2, Star Wars Heir to the Empire, Star Wars Dark Droids, Star Wars Vader's Quest, Star Wars Darth Vader by Kieran Gillen, Star Wars Dark Empire, and The Star Wars. All those Star Wars books were in our Star Wars Summer. Then we went to Grommets, then Callie, then If You Find This, I'm Already Dead, Godzilla Monster Peace Theater, You'll Do Bad Things, Bowling with Corpses, Epitaphs from the Abyss, Criminal Coward, Criminal Knives, Mugshots, and Gun Honey. Man, that's a lot of books. And I will tell Travis Ratz, this year, looking at this list, let's just look at this list. We really only read two superhero books this entire year.
You're right. Daredevil and Batman?
That's it. This entire year, we only read two superhero books. And
that's
we
crazy
read,
to think about.
We have a question coming up later that's going to be hard because most of these books were one and done books. They are singular stories that we read in this pace, except for some of those Star Wars. But really, most of these were, hey, this is a story. It's done. Here's the beginning, the middle, the end. In one book, it's finito. So, Travis, that's a lot of books, my friend. We did this list of what were our favorites and all this stuff. So I'm assuming you went back and looked. Was there any book you were like, oh, shit, we read that this year?
Yeah. There's a couple I don't even remember what they're about. One, Gargoyle of Gotham. Don't remember it.
That's because
disconcerting going into a bad January, but January.
That's because Travis, but it didn't finish. It didn't finish. It was only three books.
Creepy little Joker kid. Oh yeah. My God. That seems like 2 years ago.
It does. It does. But it was not.
I forgot about both of our superhero books. It didn't even register me that we weren't reading superheroes.
Yeah.
Wow. We're going to squeeze the superhero stuff in there.
It's a year. That's why we're going to, I will talk about what we're going to kick off for January at the end of the show, but let's get into it. Travis, as I was going through this, I felt the same thing as you. I'm like, man, did we read that this year? Oh goodness. Or I would I would go, oh man, I really like that book. I'm going to have to read that again, right? There's a couple of them like, ooh, I'm going to go back. I want to go back and read that. Maybe that's a good little, the holiday break is coming up. I got 2 weeks off. It's a good opportunity to go reread one of these. If I feel the need.
I think there are three here that I would reread in a heartbeat. I liked seeing your list of the books all out here. I remember last year I did the list and I left off Nightwing.
Yes, that's right.
And I was like, oh man, maybe like in the deep cockles of summer, I need to go back through all the podcasts like by year and create a spreadsheet that we just have on file, which has all the books per year. That's a summer afternoon. That's a whole afternoon there. And there's got to be beer.
Yeah. No, I'm into it. That might be, I've got these 2 weeks. That might be something I do during these 2 weeks. Just make it
happen. Wonder if AI can help me. I wonder if we register enough with AI that we can be like, take all the comic exposure. And I'm like, you mean the comic exposure Facebook comic shop? I'm like, no, not that one.
No. All right. Travis Ratz, I want to save. So my question for you, do we start with our favorite book or do we end with our favorite book? I think we end with our favorite book, don't you?
Well, I don't know, because there's a sense that it's probably going to get brought up along the way if, like, yours or I's favorite book isn't brought up on there. So I think it might be great to gush about our favorite books without it being and I want you to go first on this one, because I legitimately have two favorite books, and I'm okay with either one of them.
Travis Ratz, I'm surprised that you're okay with either one of them, because I am sure you and I would have the same book for this. And that is surprising to me that you don't. And why is my internet not working very well? I don't want to try to find it on my shelf so that I can give all of the details about the book, which is kind of a bummer. My internet is just spinning right now.
Do you want me to help you grind through this one? Because I have
no. That is not my favorite book, Travis Ratz.
Okay.
Do we not have the same favorite book?
Oh well, maybe we do. And one of my choices is different then. All right.
Wow. Okay.
I can't take the anticipation.
Okay. Here we go. My favorite book this year. As I look back at our list and I go, oh man. This is what I really enjoyed this year, is traveling to Mars. When I think about a book that we read this year that I'm like, what one had the biggest kind of impact on me? It would be Traveling to Mars by Mark Russell, right?
Art by Roberto Melli.
Yeah. So Mark Russell did the art. It ended up being was it 12 issues that we ended up reading for this thing? It was a whole deal. It was the full paperback for it. It is one of the early reads this year, one of the first books we read. But I remember we read it. When we read it, we're like, oh, man, I don't know that there's going to be another one that's going to
book of the year. Yeah,
I don't know that there's going to be another one that's going to hit as deep. Do I have other books that I really enjoyed? Yes. But this is the one. It's that sort of look as men of a certain age. This is a book that really focuses on self-exploration, self-understanding, loneliness, regret, all of these things that the main character goes through in Traveling to Mars. This is one where the art was okay, did well for what it was, but this is one of those books where I go, yeah, man, the art could have been whatever, and I think I would have been okay
right. with Mark with Russell outkicked the coverage with his writing and his themes in this.
Yeah.
In particular, it is a book I would say that is probably strongest is its strongest point is its themes.
Yes.
And how they were handled, which usually isn't necessarily, I could take or leave if the writing is good or the art's good. But this one, like you said, those themes hit hard. I remember reading this and feeling very seen in this book.
Yes. Yes. And then I said, I was like, I don't want to search for my copy. But then I found my copy automatically when I went to go read it. It's out on a Blaze Studios. It is just this. I can't explain. It just ends up being one of those books where you're like, man, it had like a really good message. We know, I mean, Mark Russell, we've liked Mark Russell for a long time, right? We can go back and think about the Flintstones we booked that
Prez.
The Flintstones that we read of his, where he's
Sonia, Red Sonia.
Yeah, he's a very good writer and he does a really good job of like using satire and sarcasm in his writing. And sometimes it's like joke a minute, right? When I think of that Flintstones book, very deep, very sort of self-introspective, but also like hitting you over the head with some of the kind of satire in it. This, although satirical, just the kind of ideas that it's kind of playing in, it is still just incredibly heartfelt and deep.
Josh, I would call it a bittersweet symphony of comic book storytelling. Bum, 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 bum,
bum, bum, bum. Perfect. So, Travis, if that's, I guess I got to ask, is that your favorite book or do you have another one?
I'm going to go with that's my favorite book. I have another one, but like that can be pulled into it here. Let's just throw our cards down there. We called our shots early in the year. I had it on here thinking that you were going to pick a different book and then I was going to pick that one. Because I remember at the time being like you really liking it, but me feeling like I was like, oh, like he might find something that he likes better on there. I had to go back and listen to that podcast. I read this book twice now this year.
It's very good. I went back and I looked at all the books we read and I was like, okay, let me think about this. Which one hit the most? And it's this book. And that's a rare thing sometimes for us in what we do. We've been doing this show for a long time. We've read lots and lots of comics and graphic novels. And I cannot think of another book that kind of hit me.
Haunting.
Right. That kind of hit me in a way where I go like, oh. Okay, yeah, the themes and the thoughts and the exploration in that were very just spot on. Really,
also a rare book where really you can give to anyone.
Yeah, yeah, great sort of like
who's a male
who is battling with
who's a middle-aged
man. You can give it to anybody who's a middle-aged man who's struggling with their past. It's great.
That book, one of the things I like is at some point there's like a space race and they shoot them like out of a cannon, so they're on a trajectory, so it's just speed, and like you see these pods behind him and they're like, oh shit, catch up.
Yeah.
All right. Good. I'm glad we I liked having a commonality in the best book of the year. So you're here right here we go, folks. 2025 best comic of the year. Traveling to Mars.
Best book we read. Just so glad we read it. So glad that it was, and it was early in the year. And so for something that we read that kind of early in the year to last that long, I mean, it probably was a February read, right? It would hit us the whole year through, Travis Ratz. All right. Wow. So, next question up, Travis. Here's what I got for you. Here's what I want to know. We started with best book often is about the best story, right? That's often where we land when we think about the best book. So I want to ask you, which book are you giving best art to? Which book are you giving best art to?
I'm going to give best art this year to Bilquis Everly in Helen of Wyndham. I mean, I think it's going to be a huge year for Bilquis.
Windhorn. Yeah.
This was like the gothic swords and sandals, English manor, far away magical world. I mean, so right there you have this huge playground for any comic book artist to play with. This is what we love about comics, is all you need is some, you know, some pen and some inks, and you could tell these stories with huge scopes. And the story felt small in the story, but the art made it feel so large.
So big. So big. Yeah.
And we saw her do it on that Supergirl when she was doing the Galaxies things. This is her. I think her and I was going to say Fiona Staples.
Oh, okay.
But like her and Fiona Staples are just so great when it comes to like, oh, here's a different creature. Oh, yeah. It's going to be just as good as the last creature. You thought I couldn't type that creature? Here's another weird thing you've never seen before or imagined. I'm going to show you that on there. It was whimsical, but it still had that kind of indie style that you and I love.
It's like light and ethereal. I don't know how else to say it. It's
light and line use too, at least on the figures, and then beautiful colors on that. I don't have who did the colors. Let me sort of pull that up there. Ah, the colors were great too. That's part art, I guess. That's a huge combination. So I am going to pull that up on here just because we are talking about art. We gave it favorite art. I want to make sure that we give it the proper due by the colorist. And that goes to...
It would be Lopes. Is it Matthias? No. Yeah.
Matthias Lopes is another Matthias illustrator. Lopes. So Matthias Lopes, either the inker or the colorist on that.
And of course, Clayton Cowell's doing the lettering because he's just on he letters everything.
How's it going, Clayton?
Clayton Cowell's.
That's a good name. Right.
I will agree with you. And you said it's going to be a big year for that artist because we are getting the trailer just dropped for the Supergirl movie.
Looks good,
Josh.
Looks good.
Looks very good. Lobo is in it, and
dude, I love that. I love that trench coat, man.
You throw
a brown trench coat over a Superman uniform. Here's my money.
Yeah, it's great. I'm excited for it. All right. My favorite art. It was a toss-up, but my favorite art is going to go Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees by Patrick Horvath. And I think because it is...
Another early read,
but so different than most of the stuff that we've read this year, because it is like a children's book gone awry, right? It's like Richard Scarry's Little People Town thing, or what it is with like the worm and the hat.
Yeah.
And it's
children's book.
Children's book, but these children book characters are committing murder. One of them's a serial killing bear. It is like it's watercolored and it's like light and but super detailed. And the acting that Horvath is able to put across on these animals' faces. These humanoid animals, very, very great. And the coloring's great. And the fact that he did it all. He wrote, drew, and colored the entire book. There is another kind of mini series coming out about it right now that I can't wait to pick up and read. But that's my pick for art. The coloring is soft and light.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the real challenge here is how do you communicate gore with anthropomorphic childlike characters, soft color palettes, an artistic genre on there. Really interesting challenge to, because there were some like dismemberment parts in there and we saw body parts and there was certainly blood and human viscera. And to put it into that kind of artistic genre, I don't think I've seen that before. So I really like that pick. The book.
There's like a whole scene where this pig lady's fingers get chopped off, right? Yeah. Like it's just such a like an interesting take on it. So, you know, that was in the running for a couple different categories, but I think that's my art category right there is Beneath Where Nobody Sees by Patrick Horvath. All right, Travis, what's the next category?
Throw a category at you. Let's kind of move around a little bit and let's go into, we always talk a lot and I think we'll split these categories up, the movie and the television one. We'll have a couple in between. But we always say this would be a movie, or sometimes we would say, I don't know how, like, I would love to see a movie of this. I don't know how you would do it. on here. So when we look at the stories read this year, I think, as Josh said, you know, a lot of them are self-contained.
Or at least
are presented as self-contained. So I think we have a lot of good contenders for which could be easily adapted into, or not easily adapted, which would we like to see adapted into a movie.
So we're doing movie. My adapted into a movie is going to be Gromit's. My adaptation in a movie is going to be Gromit's. That book for me felt the most like movies that I remember, whether that's kids or SLC Punk or
90s, you know, the 90s.
Yeah. Well, yes. The 90s movie. Being a movie I haven't seen. Right.
Oh, so
I haven't seen that one, but there's this piece of me that goes like, okay, that is a book that I feel fits really well in the idea. Like, you know, it's Rick Remender and Brian Posehn doing this sort of coming of age story in the 80s of these guys, like just feeling outcast, but talking about punk rock. And there's the party scene, and there's like just, there's humor, and there's the side of like a goofy guy falling in love with a cute girl, all the things that make perfect cinema. And it's this sort of, the arc is perfect, and it has a happy ending. It's not a sad ending. You get like, oh, you know, like he's leaving at the end, but oh my gosh, his buddy comes out to live in the same place. And to me, it kind of hits the hallmarks of like many movies I've seen, but I just loved kind of the humor and heart of it. And I think it would be like a great movie, but we don't make movies like this anymore, Travis. Movies like this don't exist.
Well, I also think too, hey, maybe Warner Brothers, Netflix conglomerate will bring it. Those movies maybe. Back in place. I also really think it would give you, not since like Lords of Dogtown have we seen like a big, it's not fictional, that's based on like the doc and those real people, but it's presented as like, hey, here's this narrative being told in film. I think it would be a great opportunity with all the new stuff that we can do with cameras. I know they still have skateboard films and stuff like that, where they're probably doing some real cool stuff with GoPros and little cameras and stuff like that. But on a big, like Hollywood scale, like what can you do for all those skate scenes? Where it's like, hey, we want to take this movie and we like F1, that movie F1 that came out this summer. It was like really, they were able to put cameras in parts of a car and show speed and racing in a way they'd never been done before. Yeah. I think that would be a really great, cool thing to do with Gromit's.
Yeah, that's my choice for movie. What's yours, Travis? Your choice for you'd like to see in a movie?
Mine is more of like, in reading it, I was like, I think I might enjoy this better as a movie.
Oh, okay.
Because
I think I know what it is.
Movie before.
I think I know what it is.
Let's say it. I'll go 3, 2, 1, and then we'll say it at the same time. Okay. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Mugshots. Oh. Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'm going Cali. And I remember reading it and I remember enjoying it.
Yeah.
Cali is kind of like the post-apocalyptic female grindhouse escape artist who's just capable of things on there. And it reminded me just of a grindhouse film. And I like grindhouse cinema. I'm by no means an expert of it. Some of the ones that were actually made during the 70s grindhouse era can be a little tough to come watch, but I like, you know, like Machete or like Death Proof when, like Rodriguez and people take, the grindhouse aesthetic, but with like modern cameras and styling. And so I think it would be fun, to see Cali, this escape from New York, escape from LA type character, in a desert landscape. Being pulled off with all the modern bells and whistles in which we could use to tell a modern grindhouse.
And plus you got that is a book we read where it was just set piece, right? Like, ooh, here's the set piece where this big action is going to take place. All right, let's travel to the next set piece. It's a train. Let's travel to the next set piece. It's, you know, like this war scene, this flashback war scene.
The headquarters, the bunker. Right? Yeah.
It has all those things that kind of lend itself to like cinema. You know,
I always also think about it too, is in terms of like Hollywood films, is like which of the books would have like people want to dress up like Halloween costumes? And I can see a bunch of people like throwing on a leather jacket doing the Cali.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. Yeah. All right. here's that's the flip side of it, Travis Ratz. Let's do the other. Let's do the flip side.
Okay.
Let's do a quick question on this one. Which one would be the best TV show?
All right. So quickly, best TV show is I put Operation Sunshine.
Mm. Good choice. Good choice.
Early in the year, and I think I don't know if I'm just projecting it onto it because I'm picking it as best TV show, but I feel like we may have had a conversation about this, feeling like this. So Operation Sunshine was the one with the vampires called Bugs.
Yeah.
And they were kind of like, there was a hierarchy of vampires and they were kind of like real. It felt like everyday people. It was like a punk rock vampire. There was like a coder vampire. It felt like a get the team together.
Yeah.
But at one point in the volume towards the end, they go into this underground kind of vampire world.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, this feels like a TV series where it's the setup. It's the, hey, we are using this main character to enter this huge, large world. There's a threshold guardian. It's assembling the squad. It's this big, massive organization that has to be taken down.
Yeah.
I feel like it can go in a lot of directions. And again, I really like the premise. The book is fine. I like the premise even more so than the execution. So I'd love to see this story told in the hands of other storytellers as well. And I know the guys who wrote it, I think they do like a horror podcast. So I know they're big, you know, cinema and television fans. So I think that this could be a good television show.
I agree. My television show pick is We Stand on Guard. I think it would be a perfect mini series. And I hate the word prestige, but it seems like it's ripe for an Apple TV series, right? It's Brian K. Vaughan, and who is no slouch to TV and, you know, and book, but like Brian K. Vaughan and Steve Scroggie, like to me, this is kind of the perfect. We have the technology to create these giant mechs. We have the ability to kind of do these small scenes that you get in We Stand on Guard, but then pull back and get the giant winter mechs, right?
You're so dead on, Josh.
Yeah.
And can I don't want to step on your toes.
No,
so go ahead.
Yeah.
But I have
no.
Also, Josh, you remember we read that book and we're like, at the time,
that's
kind of topical.
Yeah. So I'm saying like it's topical. It has this idea of like, you know, we're not treating our normal allies
historic
very well
allies,
right now,
yeah.
Now is the United States, right? So I mean, you're in Germany. We hate Europe right now in the United States. So
well, let me tell you something, Josh. Europe hates us too.
yeah. So to me, this is kind of that perfect. It's a little story about, you know, this woman trying to like seek revenge after losing everybody. Again, a very good common trope. But then you also get the sort of larger world building thing that I think you can do well in like 4 or 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Right. Like
now
to
I'm
me,
that you brought that up. A lot of female protagonists this year. We had a lot of female protagonists.
Yeah. It's the year of the woman.
Yeah.
We're that's Travis and I really into female characters. We're very
more like the year of the boy.
We're not performative male. We're not performative men. No, not at all.
You'll catch me reading my tattered copy of Callie on the airplane flights
with my beanie this high.
Yeah.
All right. this is an audio podcast, but for the visual gag of it all, Travis is wearing a delightful orange beanie on his head.
Denim jacket. This is a very performative male costume. I got
it is.
Right
and
now.
Is there a t-shirt under that denim jacket? Or are you
there
rocking
isn't.
It? Yeah, see, that's even...
It's not a denim jacket. It's just a denim shirt.
Ah, denim shirt.
I got him to button it up. Oh, here, I'll get... This is just for Josh, not for the listeners. If I can
button
all
up
the way
all the
up.
Way?
I can't. This button has never been buttoned or refuses to.
All right, so next category, Travis.
All right, next category. Let me pull it up on here. Ooh, let's talk. We've talked about... All right, let's get to the character level here. What do you want to do, Josh? You want to do... let's start with villains first. Josh.
Best
I'm
villain.
Ask you.
All right. My best villain. And we had a off air conversation or before about this as we were talking about stuff, because we were talking about, do you remember some of these books or was that recorded? I don't know. But my best villain, I think the books we read this year do not, because look, we didn't read a lot of superhero books. The term villain is kind of tough to get sometimes. So I really kind of nailed it down to maybe two. My villain that I'm going to go with is a tough one to kind of like, it's a hard thing to do. And I think that this writer, this artist did a good idea, a good job of creating Crytoon for the Gargoyle of Gotham.
Ooh, so I forgot about that. As it mentioned, I was like, oh yeah.
A new Batman villain, hard to pull off. Hard right?
to pull off.
Some people might say, oh, it should have been Kid Joker from Gargoyle of Gotham. I'm tired of Joker. I don't need any more Joker. But if you can give me a new character, this insane person who's obsessed with the violent cartoons of his youth and kills people with anvils and other stuff like that, and is always crying, and his makeup and everything,
black and white,
makes him look like an old school, like old timey cartoon,
Steamboat Willie,
yes,
or so, Felix the Cat,
yes. Crytoon is my villain of the year. And I think, great like name. I said, great name. It's hard to come up with a new Batman villain, right? I think everybody who takes on Batman tries to create one, right?
Dr. Pig or Mr. Pig? He was good.
Professor Pig.
Professor Pig.
I think it's Professor Pig.
Yeah, but even that was a while ago. Yeah. Automatopoeia, the Kevin Smith one. That was a good one. But yeah, I put Crytoon up there as like
the Court of Owls is you know, you think of like the Court of Owls being this very
not a big fan of Court of Owls.
I kind of liked it. I think I would have liked it better had it not been historically tied to Gotham and it had just been this worldly secret society.
I mean, the ripples of that are just we'll talk about that at the end of the episode. We might see some ripples of that coming up.
Yeah.
On
all
there.
Right. Travis Rouse.
My best villain from a book that has already been mentioned by my co-host Josh over here is I'm going to go with Samantha Strong from Beneath the Trees Where No One Sees. As Josh mentioned, this book is like a kid's
book. Is she a villain though? Isn't she our protagonist?
I think you can make of a villain a protagonist.
Okay. You're the English teacher. Would have thought the other serial killer is our villain in that one, who's trying to expose her. But I get what you're saying.
That's good. I see that is the mouse. Was it a mouse?
Yes, a mouse guy. I think.
Yeah, a mouse guy. Ooh, I actually forgot about that character. You're right. Nope. I'm going to stick with Samantha Strong.
You lock it in, dude. It's fine.
I like that because it is. Like something like, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
In the movie The Joker.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix, is he the villain and the protagonist?
Oh, that's a good question. My head goes to Dexter. Dexter is a villain, but is also the protagonist of the film.
That fits more with.
And the antagonist is whatever serial killer he's trying to kill at that time. Or the antagonist could be the police. Right.
Yeah, but to be fair, Dexter is killing other serial killers.
Correct. Samantha is not killing other serial killers. She's killing people.
Right. Which also, this conversation may be one of the reasons why she's a good villain. Because you're like, is she a villain? Is she not a villain? Is she the protagonist? Not a protagonist? Look at how much content we were able to create just from Samantha Strong, Josh. And content, we know, Josh, is king.
It's king.
Are you listening, Netflix? You need any more mergers? We're here.
Yeah. Just fold Comic Exposure into your mighty network. We're cheap. We wouldn't cost much.
How about you just pay my monthly subscription and we'll call it a fair trade?
All right.
All right, Josh. So you can hit me the next question. We know what's coming next. Let's just pair it off with what works.
Oh, who's
the villain?
Villain, who's your favorite character? Who's the best hero?
Okay, for me, and we talked about this a lot during Star Wars Summer. One of my big revelations during Star Wars Summer is how much I liked Luke Skywalker. Something that I, as a character that I've liked before, I'm always like, okay, I like Luke Skywalker, but of course I'm more distracted by the flashiness of a Han Solo or like a pluckiness of a Poe Dameron, right? But I was like, you know what? The dude was coming off as milquetoast, but during Star Wars Summer, Luke Skywalker layers, man. Luke's got layers.
Luke has layers, sir. Luke does have layers. This is a tough one for me, right? Because when I think of all the books we read, like, hero is maybe not, I think I have to just say protagonist, right? Because there's not many heroes in our books this year. A lot of protagonists.
Oh, I hope you say Samantha Strong.
I'm not going to say Samantha. I thought about it. That was it. I didn't write down an answer for this one. So off the top of my dome, I think I've got to give it to and this is just hitting me now because it's silly and I enjoyed how silly it was, is we read Bowling for Corpses and there's a little guy who has an arm and he beats these people, these ghosts, vampire things with it, and they just explode. And it's just this silly little character that Mike Mignola is like, I don't know, give him a page boy haircut and let him beat people with an arm and they'll explode. And there was just something fun and silly about that book. And as I think about like fun main characters this year, I mean, I could have gone with our main character in Traveling to Mars, right? I spent the most time with him. I felt most connected to him. But a little silly little guy who hits people with a ripped off, severed bone. Wonderful. Wonderful. I don't even know his name, like Travis. I don't even know that he has a name.
Bone Boy.
I don't even know if he has
Bone Boy.
Yeah, Bone Boy.
All right.
Bone
Boy. So let me throw.
I could have said Gun Honey. I could have said Gun Honey. You know, she's the most well endowed of all the characters we read this
year. Maybe next year we can do a category.
Yeah.
Ooh, I'm actually really surprised. Ooh, that. I'm going to talk about surprises that we've left off so far, especially for a couple categories I'm looking at now. What about Josh for you? Yeah. I think we have three more categories.
Okay.
I want to know, what was a pleasant surprise? You know, we've talked about this before. Like, you do a lot more of the work when it comes to be like, hey, we read these books.
Yeah.
And if I, yeah.
You do the technical side. I do the artistic side of finding the dumb stuff to read. Pleasant surprise.
Like I don't like this delineation.
All right. A pleasant surprise for me, right? You mentioned it already. You just mentioned it, like Luke Skywalker being your favorite character. I would tell you, like, a surprise for me. We did Star Wars Summer, Travis, and we had this conversation. I had never read a single Star Wars comic, except for maybe like a one-off from the 70s or whatever, right? Like you'd find somewhere. I had never read it, and I did not expect to, like, I wanted to do the event because we often talk about we want to fill our comic book gaps, right? We want to fill those in. Pleasant surprise for me was we read in Dark Empire was my pleasant surprise. I read Dark Empire Volume 1, Volume 2, and I went and read all of Dark Empire. We read just Volume 1 or Book 1 or whatever you want to call it for the show, but I then went and read the rest of it because I was so surprised at how much it like hit exactly what I wanted from a sequel to Star Wars, right? Like we talked about, we read Heir to the Empire, which is the other sequel. Like these are like two diverging paths that you could take after Star Wars. One is Heir to the Empire, where we've got, you know, Luke and Han having babies and you've got Admiral Thrawn being our new villain. And then you've got this Dark Empire where you get Luke either pretending or halfway being drawn into the dark side. And I was so surprised that I really enjoyed and I really could not get enough of the book out of that Star Wars summer. I didn't think I would enjoy any of those books at a high level. And I really did enjoy it, and I really did seek out to read the rest of it. So that's my surprise.
What's being really, really enthusiastic about those books.
What's your pleasant surprise, sir?
A recent one. I'm going to go with Mugshots.
Okay, yeah.
Mugshots was one of those. I think we had come off a run of a spooky season and going into a new one, which will probably continue, Noir November. I like that on there. where it felt like we were taking some big swings and some chances on some books. And they were all like interesting and provided interesting conversations on there. But like, I remember like reading, like I usually read in bed at night and being like, oh, okay, how much more of this book is left? Are we on here? And Mugshots, I was like, ooh, okay. I guess after a run, I was like, oh, I thought this was going to be more of kind of like, all right, like what are they doing differently? And I was pleasantly surprised. It didn't blow my hair back, but the art I really liked. Yeah. And the more I read it, the more I really enjoyed it. In fact, I was looking at another book that they do. It's all in yellows and whites on that publisher. And I was like, I'm pleasantly surprised by this. That's exactly probably what went through my head as I'm reading it. This is pleasantly surprising.
That's a good one. I think, you know, as we did Noir November, and we did a like, okay, we're going to do one we know we're going to like. Let's do Criminal. Yeah. And let's pick two books out of left field that I have no skin in the game on, right? No prior thoughts or about. And I would agree with you. Mugshots was one of those ones I was like, okay, I did not expect this to it. I mean, it felt very lock stock, you know, it felt very like those things that we've read before.
Guy Ritchie.
But it did it in a interesting enough way. The twist at the end being interesting enough. I agree with you. A good pleasant surprise. Good pleasant surprise.
Yeah. Okay. That takes us to, I don't know who's giving the categories out. So I'll just out. We have,
what are our last two categories?
Let's do scene, and then we'll end with what do we want to read more? That's a good one to end on. Like, what do we want to read more?
All right. So, Travis Ratz, what scene then? What scene?
So for me, I haven't got to talk about grommets yet, and I could probably put grommets for a lot of categories on there.
Do you and I have the same scene? We can't.
I don't think so.
Okay.
I don't think so. Maybe not. I know what scene you're picking.
Okay. Let's hear it. What do you got? What's yours?
So for me is the raging jock at the party scene.
Okay. All right. That's a good one.
So in that story, if you remember, there's this raging jock who's all hopped up on steroids. And at this house party, and I'm going to do like that whole house party scene. It's my scene. It starts off with them talking, like one of the kid with the mohawk is talking about like how they'll always be punk rock. Like punk rock will always be underground and there's never no way corporate to commodify it. And I was like, okay. You're already setting the bed for a good scene for me. And then that same kid is like hiding in a van in terror as this jock is raging, like ready to kill these kids.
Yeah.
And it hit so hard because I remember being at parties like that where you're like, oh, like, is this, am I in a movie right now? Is this really happening? Is this dude about to drive that car through this house on here? And just being like, oh no, shit's about to get real. And the art and everything just really made that scene really intense for me.
I love that both of us have a scene from Grommets as our scene.
Can I point to a part of my body to guess what yours is?
It is my scene is the pebble scene.
Yeah.
My scene is the, as a kid who skateboarded, the small pebble being the most dangerous thing you can encounter on a skateboard. There's a scene where he's skating, and then the whole thing is like the idea of like, where did this rock come from? Right. Like the meteor hits the earth. There's like the caveman using it to like chip away as a tool, all of this stuff. And then it ends with him hitting the rock, flying, going face first on the ground, braces all messed up. And just the setup, the joke setup of like, how did that pebble even get there? Is just to me, just gold, just chef's kiss. Because if you've ever skateboarded and you've ever hit the smallest pebble ever, and it has ruined your life, and then to have that scene take place in front of everybody while he's trying to like show his friend that he's this new kid that he just met, that no, I'm cool, but like everybody hates him, and then this happens, priceless. Great scene, one of the best scenes I think that stuck with me, just because of the kind of nostalgia and like having lived a similar experience.
Right.
That's my
okay. Opinion. Good scene. I like it. Grommets. There's some good scenes in that book. Book. So I take this to our last one, Josh. As you mentioned before, like some of these books are continuing in volumes. Some of them they ended off. Some of them we know, like, oh, we want to do something with this in the future. Some of them we don't know if they're going to come back. Of these stories, Which ones are you like, oh man, I can't wait to get back into that?
So I think this is a weird, this is a hard question, right? Because you just mentioned it. Like most of the books that we started off talking about, most of the books that we read ended up being one and done stories, right? There's not going to be a sequel to Traveling to Mars or We Stand on Guard or, you know, Helen of, I guess you could maybe do Helen of Windhorn, but it's not a planned thing, right? If you find this, I'm already dead, right? All of those things kind of wrapped up. They weren't continuous things. So I'm left with a couple obvious choices in this. And one of them would be one of the Star Wars books that we read to say like, okay, they did a million of these Star Wars books. I could read another one. It could be, man, I'm fiending for some more Gun Honey. If I wanted to, you know, there's more volumes of that. We could talk about other books on here. But for me, and this is just because it is about to come out and I just need to finish it. And that would be book 4 of Gargoyle of Gotham. I need to. It took, and then we read it, and the volume
still isn't out. It's not
no volume. We were like, okay, we're gonna read it. I think everything will be wrapped up by the time we read it because we had planned to do it. And yeah. Then I was like, look, dude, it's been like 6 months between these two books. I don't know if the next one's coming out. So we read books 1 through 3, knowing that it was unfinished, and now finally, book 4 is gonna come out. And I am like, okay, I am going to have to read it all over again, right? Like, I'm going to have to read it all over again. We're getting book 4 is coming out. I don't even know. It might actually be out right now. Here's the release date. You ready for this, Travis? It is going to be out February 18th, 2026.
Always away. That will be, we'll have gotten through an entire opening month of the year series.
Yes.
Without knowing the ending, but we did a year ago.
I want to know how this series ends because I really do like Rafael Gompa's art. I do like the kind of direction he was taking in. But even you and I, when we read that book, we're like, ooh, he wrote volume 1, or you like wrote book 1 and book 2, and then 3 did really feel like he wrote it a year later. Yeah. So I am curious to see how this thing ends up and what it looks like in one complete story. So that's I need to know how this ends. That's my
book. Organizationally, you should have gone second because that would have been a great segue. For me, a book already mentioned.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to call an audible.
You do that. It's our show. We do it every month.
If I had a special effect button, it would be like audible. I'm going to talk about a book that has been mentioned. No planned continuity. Godzilla Monster Peace Theater. The art in that book was, it almost made top art of the year for me.
Scioli's good. Tom Scioli's good.
That you were going to pick it as well for art. It was a fun read. I just want to see Godzilla mashed up with other different genres or fictional characters. I feel like this has the potential. I would love to see a Godzilla. You know what? Make it holiday themed. Put, you know, Godzilla with the Rankin Bass, Rudolph and Scrooge and Will Ferrell as the elf on there. And I just want to see some more Godzilla in this style battling things out. I want more. My original pick, Bowling for Corpses. He plans to do more of that, at least at the end of the story he talked about.
Yeah,
and
I like that.
I would like to see some more of that.
That's good. Those are good. Good picks. Good picks. All right, Travis. That completes our year in review. End of year 2025 episode on all of the 26 books we read this year. That's a lot of books, Travis. And we are going to keep the momentum going in 2026 as we start the year. Prepare yourselves, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to start the year with some Batman. I don't know. I think we've been doing this for so long that I need a theme now, Travis.
Yeah.
I need a theme to guide what to pick. right? Like I need someone to tell me this is the thing we're doing, and me, I'm telling us the thing to do, but it helps me. It helps me find the books, right?
And I've learned that in relationships, you support your partners on their journey.
I like that.
And if you and if you need to theme things up, Josh, I'm right along with you. Ride or die.
I want you to this is look, we could talk about how this is your longest standing relationship. And I hope that I've taught you things about how to care for your lovers when they want to theme it up to spark up the bedroom. Just
I think it's a great idea, hon.
Go for it.
You want to dress up like January. You can bedazzle those jeans and you can January our podcast. Yeah. I don't care.
Batmanuary is coming and here are the three. Okay,
you're gonna say Batmanuary. I'm gonna continue to say Bajanuary, and that's gonna be a running all the way through all three books.
Batjanuary, Batmanuary. Here we go. The books we have three. We're gonna crank out some Batman because you got a big flight coming. You're going to fly to the States and you're going to fly back. So I'm reminding you of these books so you can buy them right now so that you are prepared. We are reading Batman and Robin Year One, which is a new series drawn by one of our favorites. Why can't I remember his name right now? Batman and Robin Year One. God dang it. What is his name? Travis Ratz. Chris Somney.
Okay.
Chris Somney, a great superhero artist doing Batman and Robin Year One, a new tale. Then DC started their Absolute series this year. We got Absolute Wonder Woman, Absolute Superman, and Absolute Batman. This is the hulking Batman with spikes on his shoulders and a big freaking axe. I read the first book and I was like, okay, I got to hold off. This has got to be something that we have to enjoy this new take on Batman together. And then
Hey, Josh, you're learning how to be in a relationship too.
Yeah, I am. Then Batman... Dark Patterns, another new series, but this is focusing on something that Travis and Ratz and I love about Batman is the detective piece. So Batman Dark Patterns is Batman trying to solve a serial killer in Gotham. And so we have three Batman takes and
I hope it's Samantha Strong
and we get
fingers crossed.
We get to pick at the end of Batmanuary, which Batman, do we like the newest take on Batman? Do we like our detective Batman? Or do we like our Bat family classic looking Batman at the end of January? We'll see which one wins out, Travis. But that's January, folks. So those are the books that you should pick up. Batman Dark Patterns, Absolute Batman, and Batman and Robin Year One. That is coming up in 2026. That's the show. Anything you want to wrap up our year with, Travis Ratz? Any thoughts on the books we read this year to wrap us up?
No, I like this year, looking back on it, you know, and you're just kind of, you know, reading the books and putting them up and stuff like that. And then the older you get, time just goes by. And you're like, oh, it is the end of the year. It's just one more year in the podcast. Plus, you've been doing this podcast now for over a decade. And like every year we get another year on there, I just like, wow, like lots changing in the world. But Josh and I are still doing this podcast. So it was nice. So when you had the list on there, I took a couple of those. I just reflected on it. The good times, the laughs. The late night reads that I do on my own, right? It's good stuff.
Yeah. It's good stuff. I would tell you, folks, find a friend to read with. It is like, I'm not part of a book club. I'm not in a band anymore. I don't have hobbies that involve other people, but this is my hobby that involves a friend. And books are better when you can talk. Music is better when you can talk about it with someone else.
Yeah.
Books are better when you can talk about it with someone else. And Travis, as we wrap this year, I just want to say thanks for being my friend and reading 26 fucking comic books with me this year.
Hey,
who else is going to do that?
Yeah. Thanks for reading 26 comics with me too. That is, when you put it like that statement, it is like a nice gift to give someone.
Yeah.
Hey, will you read 26 comics with me? Like, sure, bud. I'd love to.
Yeah. I'd love to. Yeah. I'd love to talk. I'd love to hang out every other week and talk about books with you.
Talk about comics.
Yeah.
Put together a Christmas stocking list. You know what? Here's, can I make a, I'm asking you quickly. I know you got to go. But, Maybe we save this to the first episode next class. I want you to think about because we'll be starting by January January, the first episode, the first minutes I'm ask you, what is your comic exposure New Year's resolution?
Travis Ross, I think we've done that before. I think we've done a New Year's resolution episode.
Oh, probably.
And I think it was literally just a New Year's resolution episode.
Oh, variant. Yeah.
Yeah. It was somewhere, but I like the question. What do we want to accomplish in 2026 for comic exposure? That's a good one. That's a good thought. That might just be a variant before we kick off Batmanuary.
Batmanuary, yes, absolutely. Batmanuary. Now we're just calling everything.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for tuning in. You can find the show at comicexposure.com or on your favorite podcast app. Write a review, rate it, share it with your grandmother. If you comment on the Spotify, we try to see those and read those on the air. Let us know, what's your favorite book that you read in 2025? Doesn't have to be one of the books we read. Comment on the episode. It's favorite book you read this year. All right, Travis, that's it. We'll see everybody next trade.
And next year.
Yeah.